How can Christians committed to living a godly life navigate in a culture that embraces sin and assaults our moral sensibilities? How can we guard ourselves and show the world that there's a better way to happiness and fulfillment? Joining us to talk further about this is Pastor Jason Pettis, who pastors Living Hope Baptist Church in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Jason, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you as well. Hey, Living Hope is hosting a special event coming up on February the 8th. It features Dr. Albert Moeller, who's the president of Southern Baptist Seminary. And the event we're calling is Honoring God in a Culture That Celebrates Sin. Of course, you and I talked about this months ago, about how to address difficult issues in our culture, how do we think biblically about these issues, and then approach culture in a God-honoring way. And man, I was just confessing to you before we got on the air that I was doing some homework on this, just digging into some of popular entertainment, some of the TV shows, kids programs, things that are out there. And I got to tell you, man, it really depressed my soul just to watch some of this, to hear some of the messages that were directed to kids and in particular. And I need you to help me pull me out of this, because we're here to encourage our brothers and sisters and to leave them on a note of hope. But we do have to be realistic. We've got to be honest, Jason, don't we, as to where the culture is and how it militates against biblical values in so many ways, doesn't it?
Absolutely. We've got to be aware. We've got to be aware of our culture, aware of our surroundings, and also at the same time, very much aware of our standing in Christ and the goodness of our God and who he is and what he desires for all humanity, why he made us, how he made us in his image. And what does it mean to be human beings that are thriving? What does it look like to have a thriving culture? And so what we have are competing worldviews, competing concepts of how that looks and how that works best. And there are those who want to remove all restraints. And of course, if anything is good, then nothing is. And I think what we are able to do is to point to the one true good, which is our Lord and the life that he offers, and to call people to this life and to challenge one another, to remind one another how good God is and how right he is and how the way that he created in his natural order are for things to work best for us to thrive as those made in his image.
You know, Jason, I'm glad that you remind us of God's goodness. He is part of his fundamental character is that he is good. He is kind. He is merciful. He's full of love. This is who he is, and he makes us in his image. Jason, it is becoming clearer and clearer that there's very little middle ground. The way the culture is pushing for self-autonomy, this idea that we're masters of our fate, captains of our soul, and how we entertain ourselves and how we live our lives and what we do with our time, there's a very real contrast, increasing stark contrast between biblical values in what it means to be human and what it means to be healthy and what it means to flourish and what the world is telling us. The culture is pushing hard against the Christian faith, especially for those of us who are trying to live out the faith and work and raise our families according to biblical convictions. We're in a very different place than we were even 10 to 12 years ago, aren't we?
That's right. You know, and I think one of the things that has happened is there was this willingness to leave well enough alone. And I believe that that day has now passed. I think that there is now a desire on behalf of those seemingly in power who have control of media, having control of the technology and the communication, not only devices, but so much of what gets produced in terms of forms of entertainment and information, which in some ways is hard to discern. You know, what is the difference between news and entertainment? It's almost as if they are the same thing. But there is this there's this sense in which we who are holding to a biblical worldview are being told that we're wrong and that we must give up. We must surrender. And there is this sense in which we are being told that we have to accept their rule, their reign, and what they view is right and best. And it's interesting that these are some of the same folks who would chastise any colonialistic concepts and this idea of pushing an agenda and trying to control a population and demanding that there be acceptance of some kind of tyrannic rule. And I think there's just a real lack of self-awareness that this is the same thing that many are doing, that are demanding that their view of what we would call sin, that they would call a freedom of expression in terms of their sexuality and identity, is something that is degrading. It's causing harm. They don't see it that way, and so they see it as us causing the problem, and they're seemingly on the attack. And so I think that has created an awareness, and I think that's why there's so many people that are planning to come to hear Dr. Moeller, to hear him explain, how do we process this? How do we think about this as Christian people? And I think it's very, very important, and I think it's timely.
It is, and this event is taking place February the 8th, Living Hope Baptist Church in Bowling Green. The title is Honoring God in a Culture That Celebrates Sin. Dr. Moeller is going to talk about a biblical perspective on what is happening in our culture. Jason, you're going to be part of a panel discussion, and you're going to, in particular, share pastoral perspective, the pastor's heart, when it comes to ministering to people in the pews, families who might be struggling with LGBT issues, sons or daughters who might have gone off to college and they come back with an entirely different worldview and different identity even. And I think this is part of it. We need to have both. You had mentioned that the church or that Christians were maybe not engaged. They weren't pressed so hard. And for the most part, people, you know, we're busy. We have families to raise. We have jobs to work, and disengagement may have been the status quo, but there's really no room for disengagement because the culture's pushing so hard against us everywhere, in the workplace, in popular entertainment, in our public schools, and they're really we're forced to respond. Dr. Moeller is going to, in particular, again, speak to the culture, kind of looking outward from the church. Here's what's happening. Here's how we can think biblically and respond. And you're going to be looking inward, if you will. At least this is part of the panel discussion. I don't know if the church is, and I'd like you to speak to this, I don't know if the church is balanced that well. Either there's one extreme or the other. Either churches are very good at identifying what's going on in the culture and how we are to respond, or the pastor can minister to a congregation suffering from whatever sin it might be. But to have that balance, I don't know if we've struck that well. What's your observation?
You know, I think that there is a false dichotomy between you know, what the world needs and what the Christian needs. I think we all need the same gospel. The way we experience that gospel, of course, is different. The fact that Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for sin, the fact that he's raised, that he's returning, and the fact that Holy Spirit is now here, for those of us who believe, we lean into that reality, and that transforms our way of understanding what is true and real. And the very thing that we need in terms of a transformation of our mindset and lifestyle based on what we believe is exactly what the world needs. The world needs to hear the gospel. The world doesn't need to hear a list of rules that they need to keep up with in order to satisfy what we think is right or best, nor should we be willing to accept, hey, here's our list of demands in order for you to be acceptable to us. I think we need to have a conversation that looks at what leads to human thriving. And I think as Christians, we have the truth. We have what God has provided. And if you look at societies over millennia now, what leads to human thriving? It's healthy marriages. Healthy marriages produce healthy families. Healthy families produce other children, offspring, that then can produce healthy children and healthy families. And then when the family doesn't function as it needs to, there are other governmental forces that provide protection so that those that desire human thriving can cooperate and work in a society together. Again, this is not rocket science. This is really simple. And what makes that happen is a respect and a love for one another that is revealed specifically and uniquely in the God of the Bible, the God of creation, who is love. Love is not love. God is love. And in his love, he has chosen to love us, and he calls us to love one another. And I think even those who are outside the faith can see something honorable in that. And I think that that's where our conversation can begin, not with condemning, not with seeking to change behavior, and recognize that the same needs to be true of those we're having the conversation. Listen, don't try to change my behavior or to change my expectation of what I think is right and true and best. Let's have a conversation about why we believe things are right and true and best. And I believe biblical truth provides us with the means to understand that. And we can have great conversations that show this respect, but we as Christians can be encouraged in that.
We can. That, Jason, that's a good word. We've got so many opportunities to have these conversations. There are a lot of people who are hurting and suffering in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our schools. And we as God's people, those who are in relationship with Christ, know something about compassion. Why? Because Jesus was compassionate to us, man. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This means while we were still at war with the God of the universe, he laid down his life for us. He showed us incredible compassion, incredible patience. And because of that, we can be patient and compassionate with those around us. And if you just scratch the surface of your coworker or your classmate or whoever it might be, somebody living across the street from you, you find out that people have a lot of pain. They have a lot of burdens. We live in a broken world, Jason. This is not news to you. You've been pastoring for probably close to 30 years. And we, as God's people, those who have been saved by the grace of Christ, those who have been redeemed, those who have been given a new identity, a new way of looking at life and doing life, man, we've got something to offer the world, don't we? Despite this, and I'm going to go back to what I started with, a little bit of my discouragement, digging into what I saw in culture, some of the popular entertainment, that stuff begins to fade when you look at what Christ has done on the cross, on Calvary, on the cross, and who we are in him, right? We can cut through that and then find those people who are hurting, people who need to see the love of God, people who need a word of encouragement, people who need to be pointed to Christ, can't we?
Absolutely. And realize that everybody's living by faith. Everybody's living by faith in something that they believe is going to make them whole. And there are those who have faith in systems that we know and statistically would tell us that that's not going to hold water, that that's not going to be helpful. Whatever your faith, and we say this, I say this often, whatever it is you have faith in is going to drive your feelings and the way you choose to function in life. So it's very important that we know what it is we have faith in. And as Christians, we need to know, you know, what you just clearly articulated, that our faith is not in ourselves. Our faith is not in our behavior. Our faith is not in our institutions. Our faith is not in our leaders. Our faith is in Jesus Christ, the risen King. And our faith is in him because of what he's accomplished and how he has loved us and how he has transformed the lives of millions and billions of people. And we can point to this good news. And that good news drives how we feel. Why do we feel joy? Why do we feel peace? Because we're smarter or better than other people? No. But because our faith is sound. Our faith is reasonable. Our faith is strong. And that faith is informing how we function in life. And that function is our desire is to honor God and to know his way. We're never going to be perfect. We're always learning and growing. But as we lean into that, there is a means by which the love of God grows in us, and we are more faithful to share it. And I think we can have conversations with people about what is your faith in? What do you believe is going to make you whole? And then we can go from there. We can hear, we can understand where they're coming from, and then we can share where we are coming from. And again, we're not going to agree, but we can still respect one another and love one another. And I believe that the gospel is the good news. And I believe that good news transforms lives by the power of God. And we as God's people need to have confidence in that and share it with a solid, bold hope.
Amen. We are going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back. Hi, my name is Richard Nelson, founder and executive director of the Commonwealth Policy Center. We're here to shore up the sanctity of human life, religious freedom, natural marriage, and sound fiscal policies. At The Commonwealth Matters, we have conversations with leading thinkers and policymakers to help us think biblically about the great issues of the day. If you appreciate our work, then please consider a donation today. This work is entirely supported by people just like you. Your gifts and tax-deductible contributions help to underwrite this program, and you help to get this important message out all across the Commonwealth. We believe that the Commonwealth of Kentucky is a great place to live, and we want to keep it that way for our families and our children. That's why we're standing for what's right, for what's good, and what's true right here in Kentucky. Thanks in advance for your support, and may God bless you. If you're just tuning in, you are joining the Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson, founder and executive director of the Commonwealth Policy Center, here with Dr. Jason Pettis, pastor of Living Hope Baptist Church in Bowling Green. And we're talking about an upcoming event at Living Hope on February the 8th. Dr. Al Mohler will be joining us there. And the topic is honoring God in a culture that celebrates sin. Jason, you just eloquently shared the gospel and shared the hope we have in Christ and what gives us joy and peace in our lives. And there's only one person who's ever lived in all of history that was sinless and perfect and came to lay down his life for sinners. What an incredible act of love and sacrifice. This is the God of the universe who sent his son, Jesus Christ, to come on mission, to rescue us and to restore us to be who we were intended to be. And that is to be image bearers who were to walk with God. And that act on Calvary of what Christ did, that is the beginning. That is the promise, if you will, for those who confess their sins and follow him. That's a promise of a new life. And someday that promise will be fulfilled. We can experience joy and peace and God's love right now, and that's precious and that is good. But someday we will be with him in all eternity in heaven, where all things will be made new. There's a new heavens and a new earth. There is no sin. There is no sickness. There are no tears. There is no suffering. There is no death. Jason, that gets me excited to think about this new world that is to come. And it is going to come because of what Christ did some 2,000 years ago. Now, the challenge for us as believers, we're between the cross and between the consummation of the promise of Jesus Christ coming again. We're living in between. And the question is how do we navigate through this? And that's in part what we're going to talk about on February the 8th at Living Hope Baptist Church. I want to talk about the church telling better stories. We're talking about a better story right here in this conversation, but it seems to me that much of our popular media is they're in the place to tell the stories. Of course, they've got the TV and the radio and the streaming outlets, and they can determine what they put there, but they're creating the stories. Here's a story that I just learned about yesterday. A new show released on Amazon called Has-Been Hotel. It was launched on Amazon in December, and it revolves around a character called Charlie Morningstar, who is the crown princess of hell, and she's on a quest to find a way for sinners to be rehabilitated and allowed into heaven. Now, again, these are people, sinners in hell, and she's trying to rehabilitate them to get them into heaven, and she does this through something called the Has-Been Hotel. The hotel is supposed to be an alternative to heaven's annual extermination of wayward souls due to hell's overpopulation. Now, I don't know, I'm kind of lost at that last sentence, but I had a chance to watch about a 3-minute clip of that, and it was one of those oh wow moments where it was pretty vulgar. I can't recommend watching it, by the way. Even the clip, it was vulgar, but it twisted the story of the gospel. It twisted the true story of a creator God putting Adam and Eve in the garden, making a very, very good creation and putting Adam and Eve in the garden and then the fall and then how we are reconciled to God. It totally twists and perverts that story. And some of the reviews I saw gave it high marks. I'm not sure. A lot of people aren't aware of it. And we'll see what happens in about 2 or 3 months from now. We might be seeing protests to this. But the point in this is that the stories are being told by secularists or people who think they have a better story. But I would submit that, man, we have the truth And we need to be telling better stories, don't we?
Absolutely. And I think the fact that that story, the way it's being told, tells us that there is an interest in the spiritual, in the transcendent. And I think one of the things that we see in many of the stories like that one, where I'm assuming that the individuals are able to outsmart or somehow position themselves in such a way that they would be acceptable to this divinity that they view as heaven, which is, of course, is the lie of the age, that we can somehow, just through our own mechanisms, we can develop a technology, we can develop a discipline, we can develop ways of being that can transcend our current reality, and we can be changed by what we do, and it's going to lead to this utopian society. And over human beings have failed in doing this, because from the very beginning, we believed the lie that we could not trust God, and that God is trying to keep us from something. And if we continue, we can get away from him, and we can get true wisdom, and we can find our own way. And what that has created is so much death and so much pain and so much suffering. And where we find light and life is when lives are yielded to the Creator, to the one who says, trust me, I love you, I have proven my love for you. And the story of God is the story of redemption. It's not trusting in self, it's trusting in the one who has come, who's proven true and good and right. And we all have this natural inclination. We have this natural desire. I love how C.S. Lewis talked about it. He said, if I have a desire for something that is beyond this world, surely that means it's there and that I'm made for it. And we're made for this reality. And I think in so many of the stories we see today, is we see this somehow supernatural or superpowers, something that can come in and save us. And so there's this way of which, you know, the world understands we need saving. We need a hero. We need heroes. And we can't be our own hero, because our heroes are broken. We are broken. But we can have a hero that's been revealed, who can transform us into something. And it is supernatural. And so we, as God's people, we must share that story in the many ways in which Scripture does so powerfully, and do it with prayer and with love and with understanding, being patient, not only with ourselves, but with others. I mean, I don't know about you, but I read my Bible every day, and I'm amazed at the ways in which the Lord is still teaching me and has more to teach me. And that's where we all are. So we can come together as those who have found the truth, and we can help those no matter where they are, and letting them know that this unbelievable transcendent story of reality.
That's very good. I want to close with this observation of what's happening in the church. We've been talking about culture and different areas of culture and society, presses against biblical values, but we're seeing the church pressed hard when it comes to compromising biblical teaching, especially when it comes to sexual ethics. Jason, you know this, that the largest mainline denomination church in the country, the United Methodist Church, split recently. At the end of 2023, there were just under 8,000 churches that left the denomination, and this was largely over sexual ethics, whether or not homosexuals should be pastors or whether same-sex marriages should be allowed in various congregations. 1 in 4 United Methodist congregations have disaffiliated. We're seeing in other denominations, I think of the Anglican Church, they're embracing especially LGBT identities and saying this is okay, we just need to love one another. And it's gone so far, and some, and I'll share an example here of what happened in Louisville last summer. There was a drag show at Anglican Church in Louisville. It was Calvary Episcopal Church, and they featured a number of drag artists there, and that was their idea of being inclusive. So most churches aren't going to do that. I'm sharing these examples because the culture and the prevailing cultural mindset has pushed hard even against the church. And my observation, I've seen this in some specific churches where they might be a solid, orthodox, Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church, but you have parents in the church that might have a son or a daughter who's embraced a sexual identity that's contrary to Scripture. And they begin to talk to the pastor and say, hey, just go easy. I've got a son or daughter. Maybe don't speak on these issues. But what I've seen is it happens from the inside, perhaps compassion between the pastor and the family that's already suffering. Not exactly sure of what other motivations might be there, but has that happened? You again, pastor, a large denomination. I know that you're Orthodox. I know that you're guarding the doctrine there, but do you feel the push from any of your members there?
You know, I think one of the things that I get questioned about is how do I talk to my child? How do I talk with those who are living in a lifestyle? You know, do I go to a wedding where they're going to celebrate a union that I believe is sinful? And how do we answer those questions? And, you know, I think about, you know, 100 years ago, Machen wrote that wonderful book that every Christian, I think, should read today, Christianity and Liberalism. And in that, one of the things that he was trying to help the church to deal with is the fact that they were being told in that modern age, hey, quit talking about miracles. People don't want to hear about miracles. We're a sophisticated people now. We've moved past that. And we need to stop talking about that. And all those denominations and all those who stopped teaching on the miraculous transformation of the work of the Holy Spirit and the virgin birth and the resurrection, well, those churches are irrelevant to the conversation today. And I believe that our moment today is not about miracles, it's about morality. And we're being told now, quit talking about morality, quit talking about these issues. These are, you know, now I will tell you, I've had some that say these are political issues. And I say, no, friend, these are not political issues. These are moral issues. These are issues of what is right and best for human thriving. And no Democratic person or Republican representative, no one owns the market on this. This is the truth. And what we need to hold to is as a morality that points to a holy and good God and what he intends for human thriving.
Jason Pettis, thank you for joining us and also for hosting Dr. Moeller and the Commonwealth Policy Center on February the 8th. For more information about honoring God in a culture that celebrates sin, go to CPC's website, commonwealthpolicycenter.org. And thank you all for tuning in. If you could please take a moment and go to your favorite podcast platform and rate us, please do. It really helps us. And also, please tell your friends about the Commonwealth Matters. Thank you so much, and may God bless you.